Book of Numbers, chapter 27. Numbers, chapter 27. And this morning, we want to look at what Moses has to write about the daughters of Zelophehad. And my computer kept wanting to change that to the daughters of Sleepyhead for some reason. I don't know why. Didn't recognize that name, I guess. So let's begin in verse 2 of chapter 27. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, challenge us, and encourage us in the faith. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This might not seem like it at first reading of these verses, but this is a perfect supplement to what we had been looking in the book of Ephesians with our riches in Christ. I didn't work it out that way. This is the next part of the narrative in Numbers. The Lord did that, but I think you'll see what I mean as we go on. Now, we read this whole section, verses 1 through 11, in our responsive reading, so we won't read that all over again, but I'd like to remind us of, just give us a little overview. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were from the tribe of Manasseh. There were four of these young, unmarried ladies. And in verse 2, they came to Moses and Eleazar. These were the leaders of the country, the political and the religious leader, and all the princes of the congregation, and they brought this request to the door of the tabernacle. So this was an extremely important matter to these young ladies. And in verse 3, they laid out their case before the leaders. They said, Our father died and he had no sons. Now, these are young, unmarried women. And they came to defend their father's name. And they said, Our father was not like one of the rebels who died and was punished by God in the rebellion of Korah. Rather, he died in his own sin, meaning the years of the wandering in the wilderness are now over. And God had said that all those who refused to enter into the promised land four decades ago, they would die. Their carcasses would be found scattered in the wilderness. And here these young ladies said, our father was one of those men who died because of his sin of unbelief. So he wasn't especially a rebel against God's authority as Korah or Nadab and Abihu or others, but he died like the thousands of others in the wilderness. And in verse 4, they come with a key point. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession. So here we see four young ladies that were familiar with what Moses wrote in the law, and they had a request for Moses, an exceedingly important request. And their request was they wanted a place for their father's name to continue, and they wanted an inheritance in the land. And that's what they want. That's what Moses' law made no stipulation for this. The law was very general, but it didn't cover every circumstance. And here these four young women came with a unique and peculiar, unusual set of circumstances. They had no husbands, and their father died, and therefore, when they entered into the promised land, they wouldn't get anything. Now consider the background to their question to Moses. Four centuries plus before this, God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. And he promised to Abraham and Abraham's seed that they would possess that whole land, that promised land, that would all be theirs. And it was promised to Abraham and his descendants. And let's turn for a moment to the book of Numbers in chapter 26 and verse 53. Unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give less inheritance, and to every one his inheritance shall be given, now notice this, according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot according to the names of the tribes of their fathers shall they inherit. So this land, as the Israelites, remember the 40 years of wandering is over, they're about to enter into the promised land, and the land, Moses said, is going to be divided up, and it would be allotted according to the fathers. And this was a patriarchal system. The inheritance in the land would be passed on from father to son. And the land had already, they were dividing it up according to the tribes of their fathers. So you can see the dilemma that these young daughters of Zelophehad had. It was a unique situation. Their father was dead, and they had no husband. And in a patriarchal society, the inheritance was going to the man. And so basically their question is, what about us, Moses? What about the women in our circumstances? They would have no inheritance in the land. They would have no blessing in the land. They would be left destitute. So they brought their plight to Moses and to Eleazar and to all the leaders, and what they told them was it didn't seem fair that we should get nothing in the land, that the law made no provision for this kind of a situation. And this was a very bold move on the part of these women. That took great courage for them to get together and to bring this request or this petition to Moses in a patriarchal system. And remember, the dispensation of promise was basically the age of the patriarchs. And all the promises were to the patriarchs and to their sons. And so now the age of law was beginning, and the law didn't account so far. It didn't make account for women in a situation like this. And so they brought their question very boldly to Moses. And underlying their question was, do women count as the seed of Abraham? So they said in verse 4, give us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. So they were requesting that they be given the land that would have gone to their father had he not died. And this was a bold and unheard of mood, request in that day. And also keep in mind that once they entered into the land, the manna would stop falling from heaven. God supernaturally provided food for everybody in Israel, all 2 million of them, including the women and children. But once they got into the land and had their own land, that manna would stop. They'd have to plant their own crops. And once they got into the land, their clothes would start wearing out. They lasted 40 years. That's a pretty good investment in a shirt or a pair of shoes. But it wasn't going to go on forever like that. And if there was no water, God provided water out of a rock. And these ladies had no social security. They had no husbands. They were on their own with no land, no way to provide for themselves. They would be destitute. And so in verse 5 it says, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. The law of Moses so far didn't cover such a situation. But when Moses heard their case, it sounded legitimate to him. It rang true to him. And so Moses, because it wasn't covered in the law that God had already revealed, he brought this situation, this unique situation, to the Lord. And then we read in verse 6, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right, Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. So the Lord stated to Moses very clearly that the assessment of these four women was absolutely right and correct. They were making the claim that their family name could be preserved through a female if there were no other men, and that the passing on of the inheritance, which wasn't secured by the law so far, could be passed on to women in unique circumstances. And God said they were absolutely right. Now here we see an example in the Old Testament, and we see also other examples in the New Testament, where the Bible exalts and elevates the position of women like no other pagan religion ever did. Here God saw that their cause was right, and he was going to make provision for them. And so God told Moses to give them a possession just like everybody else, that women too, they are the seed of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham. And just because their father died like everyone else did in the previous generation, it doesn't mean that that land should go to someone else. It went to his daughters because he had no sons. And then in verse 8, Moses, realizing that there was a gap in the law that needed to be filled in, made provision under other circumstances as well. Now, up to this point, the spiritual condition of Israel, of the Israelites, overall during the last 40 years, was not sterling. During their wilderness experience, their life could have been described, as you read through Exodus and Numbers, as murmuring and rebellion and unbelief. But in spite of the unbelief and the rebellion that was taking place with the multitude, here Moses points out a shining example of faith that was found in these daughters of Zelophehad. And just to put this in its perspective, remember, almost everything in this time frame in Israel's history has spiritual application to us. They were enslaved in Egypt, picturing the individual, the unsaved man's slavery in bondage to the world and the system of evil. And Pharaoh, they were under his thumb, picturing the fact that Satan, the god of this world, has unbelievers under his thumb. And then there was the blood of the Passover lamb, a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of the blood of Christ. And then there was the application of the blood to their doorpost, picturing the individual applying the work of Christ by faith to his own life personally. And then we had Passover night, when the angel of death flew over every house and inflicted death unless he saw the blood. And that's a picture of the believer's redemption through the blood in Jesus Christ. And then we see them escaping Egypt, and as soon as one is redeemed from bondage, as soon as one is redeemed by the blood, God delivers us from the world pictured by Egypt. And then the next thing we see them at the Red Sea, where God gave them victory over the Egyptian army, a picture of our victory already provided for us by Christ over our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then we see the Shekinah glory leading them, a picture of God's presence in the life of the believer wherever we go. And then their wilderness wandering experience, that time of immaturity which should have meant growth. And then there were giants in the land and walled cities. There were obstacles that hindered, that could have hindered, didn't have to, but they hindered the Israelites from actually possessing their possession in the land. A picture of all the hindrances that we have in our lives that prevent us. They shouldn't, but it prevents us from experiencing our riches in Christ. And so that's where we want to pick this thought up with the mention of the daughters of Zelophehad. As the Israelites were at the border of the land was already promised to them, just like in Christ, we have many promises in the Scriptures. We have all the blessings, all spiritual blessings already. We have a rich inheritance in Christ. And so every born-again believer in this age has the same rich inheritance in Christ. But if we're going to experience that in our minds and hearts and life, then it requires us entering into the land. And so as the Israelites would enter into the land under the leadership of Joshua, Joshua told the people that as soon as your sole of your foot touches the land, you possess that. That's yours. It was theirs by promise in the wilderness. God promised it to them, but they didn't take possession of their possessions until they actually experienced it walking into the land, facing the enemies, and by faith, experiencing victory over them as God promised, and putting the sole of their feet on the inheritance that they have in the land. And that's a picture of us. We're rich in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and it's all ours for the taking. But not every believer takes it because we're fearful and afraid and unwilling to step out in faith. And so that's the analogy that we see in the background of these four young ladies that brought this request to Moses, in a history rich in typology, or we might say illustrations. And so now let's consider some specific applications from the life, from the daughters of Zelophehad, to our lives as Christians today. Notice at the end of verse 4, when they said, "Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father." These four young ladies were aware of their riches. They were aware of the inheritance that they had in the land. They knew the promises of God through Abraham. They knew about the Abrahamic covenant. And this was not a question to them. They were counting on that. And so the Abrahamic covenant was certainly important to Moses, and he would have been responsible to make sure that all 2 million Jews were taught that, they heard it. Whether it sunk in or not, that wasn't always the case. But Moses was, it was his responsibility and the priest to make sure that the people were aware of the promises of God. How rich an inheritance God had for them physically in the land. And this was to Abraham and to all of his seed. And this promise was to be etched into their minds and their hearts, especially now as they were on the border of that promised land and about to enter in. And this promise was what should have been driving them by faith all through the 40 years of wandering around. They should have been driven by faith and confidence in God's promise that they are rich in that inheritance and it's theirs for the taking. But we know the sad history. They were not driven by faith for the most part. So Moses wanted this truth of their rich inheritance in the land to be right in the forefront of their thinking. And he wanted to keep driving this truth home. And so we read at the end of the book of Numbers, or near the end of the book of Numbers, the daughters of Zelophehad are to be commended because the promise of Abraham, promises of God through Abraham, were fresh in their minds and in their hearts. They knew God had a plan for them in the future. And they were looking beyond the immediate struggles into that glorious, rich inheritance that God has for them in the land. And they would not be deterred. And this was their attitude. What was the attitude of many in Israel from Exodus and the book of Numbers all during that time period? When something bad happened to them or they were facing a calamity or a crisis, they said, "Oh no, let's go back to Egypt. It would be better for us to be back in Egypt. At least they had leeks and onions and cucumbers." That was not the attitude of the daughters of Zelophehad. Unlike many in their day, they were forgetting those things which were behind Egypt. And they had their eyes on the prize. They were looking forward and reaching forth unto those things that God had for them in the future, namely their inheritance in the land. And in a very similar sense, by way of application, it's even more important for us in the church age, the spiritual seed of Abraham, to be aware of our rich inheritance that we have in Christ. Israel was promised a physical inheritance in the promised land. We have a spiritual inheritance in Christ. And the daughters of Zelophehad were well aware of their inheritance in the land. They were not like Esau and that kind of a crowd, willing, the carnal crowd, who were willing to sell off their future inheritance for a bowl of porridge now. And because of their unique circumstances, they brought their case to Moses, and he brought it to the Lord, and God said they were absolutely right. They had confidence in the promise of Abraham. They understood the significance of their inheritance in the land. And they fully understand, keep in mind, they had no father, they had no husbands, they were on their own. They fully understood the significance of that land. They fully understood that without an inheritance in the land, they had nothing in this world. They were destitute, they wouldn't survive. No father, no husbands. You know, if they were a little better off in this world, maybe if their father was alive, or maybe if they had husbands and they could go to their land, maybe they wouldn't have been so focused on the promise of Abraham. And maybe they wouldn't have been so focused on their personal inheritance in the land. And maybe they wouldn't have appreciated its true significance. And keep in mind that all pictures for us our awareness and appreciation for our spiritual inheritance in Christ. God wants us to be aware. As Paul opened his epistle to the Ephesians, he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. As Christians, God wants our eyes to be opened. He wants us to see, He wants us to understand all that we have in Christ. At our meetings in Uruguay, we had printed up 100 copies of George Zeller's article, booklet really, entitled 215 Things That Are True of You Now That You're in Christ. And it was all printed in Spanish and well done, and the believers there thoroughly appreciated that. It was of great value to them, and it went along so well with the series that I was doing on our riches in Christ. And here we see again women who appreciated their inheritance in the land, and that is a picture of believers appreciating what we have in Christ. And that's the way it ought to be. And we need to pray for one another that God would open our eyes so that we're not so focused on the things of earth, that the things of earth might grow strangely dim so that we can appreciate more fully what we have in Christ. If the daughters of Zelophehad had been well off in this world and well cared for in the world, maybe those earthly riches would have blinded them to the true riches they had in the land that God promised them. And you know, we too can put all of our attention on the cares of this life and let spiritual things gradually slip and slide away. And that can blind us to our true wealth that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can put all of our care and attention and time and effort pursuing the things of this life, and the things of Christ grow strangely dim. It's one or the other. The daughters of Zelophehad understood that their inheritance meant everything to them. And without it, they had nothing. And they knew it. And they seemed to realize that Egypt, which was a type of the world, was not their friend. They had no thoughts of going back to Egypt like others in their nation did. And they also realized that the Canaanite nations had nothing to offer them, nothing but warfare. There was no settling down in the Canaanite regions. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us as believers had that attitude towards our true riches in Christ? If we really understood that this world and all that it offers, the things of the world, are no friend of grace. And that here we have no continuing city. And here we have no continuing riches. But our riches are in heaven. Our treasures are found in Christ. And if we have Christ, we have everything. Boy, would that change our day-to-day attitudes. The daughters of Zelophehad were aware of the value of their inheritance in the land. And that should be our attitude with respect to our inheritance in Christ. And too often we walk around ignorant of all that we have in Christ. And therefore, we care not to seek higher ground or pursue higher ground with the Lord, but we're content with the earthly realm. And all of our attention seems to go to the shiny objects of this world, the trinkets of the world. And how sad to see believers live a careless Christian life. Not necessarily evil or sinful, but careless. Indifferent to our riches in Christ that really matter. Duped by the lie of the devil. That he who gathers the most toys in this life is the happiest. And maybe some of us here are still unaware of how rich we are in Christ. And to the degree that that's the case, we will become discontent, we will become disgruntled, and we'll be seeking for friendship, we'll be seeking for fellowship, we'll be seeking for satisfaction and contentment in the things of this world, which will always leave an empty spot in our heart. Seeking after the husks around us, rather than have our eyes open to what we are and what we have in Christ, and to realize that He's all that we need. He's our peace. He's our rest for our souls. He's our strength, our blessed hope, our sustainer, our friend, our advocate, our Lord, our master, our counselor, and our guide. You know, a discontented spirit is really anathema in God's sight for this very reason. Being discontent with what we are and what we have in this life is a pretty good indication to God that we're not content with His Son. And that we want something more, something extra. The daughters of Zelophehad were aware of their riches, and they wanted them. And the daughters of Zelophehad believed God concerning their inheritance. And that's what motivated them, that's what drove them to that bold action to take their request to Moses and Eleazar and the leaders of the nation. Four young women standing, imagine going to the President of the United States and the cabinet, four young women to complain that they were just forsaken or the law didn't include them. This was a very bold move on their part. Now, they never made it to the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith, but they very well could have. God made a promise to Abraham 500 years earlier, and these ladies were still counting on that. They were still trusting. They were still waiting expectantly and believing that God would do as He said hundreds of years before that. And they knew that this promise really included them. They were part of the seed of Abraham, and they believed it. They weren't part of the murmuring, complaining, rebelling group. They were eagerly anticipating that inheritance in the land. And the walled cities were still there, and the giants were still there, but these ladies believed that it was theirs for the taking. They seemed to have more courage than most of the men. And they were moved by faith to bring this case before Moses, and it rang true to him. And he brought it to the Lord, and God said, "They're absolutely right." And it was because of their faith that they eventually set foot in that land. And you know, this should be an inspiration for us as believers today. We need to be aware of how rich we are in Christ. Maybe we all should get a copy of the 215 things, and that's just the beginning. Things that are true of us in Christ. And start valuing them and appreciating them, learning what they are, and believing that this really is true of me. I can have joy in the Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." If there's no rest in our heart, that means there's some unbelief that's hindering us from enjoying it. Yes, there are obstacles in our lives, just like there were giants in walled cities in some of those Canaanite regions. And those obstacles can, if we allow them to, they can hinder us from experiencing those riches. Maybe we allow health issues to get in the way, or maybe it's family issues or finances, or maybe it's our kids or our spouse, or maybe it's periods of discouragement. And that's one of our adversary's greatest weapons, is discouragement. But you know, in every age, victory has always been by faith. And it's only by faith that we're able to understand and appreciate and experience our riches in Christ. It's by faith the Israelites were able to march into the land in spite of the giants, experience victory, and enter into their physical rest in the land. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left us, rather a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." In other words, it's possible to have a promise and never experience the benefit of it if we don't mix it with faith. Another application from the daughters of Zelophehad, they realized this, that it's possible to possess an inheritance and never be benefited by it. It's yours by promise, but not by experience. It was by faith in God's ability to give them victory over the Canaanites that the Israelites were able to not just have the promise of the land, but enter into it and enjoy and have rest under their fig tree and enjoy the benefit and blessing of the land. And it was unbelief that kept them out. The daughters of Zelophehad seemed to understand this, that you could be the rightful possessor of that land. They knew they were the rightful possessor of that land, but they feared they wouldn't be able to actually possess it or experience it. So they brought their case before the Lord. And he said, "You're exactly right." And think about the application for us. We all possess riches in Christ. Riches untold. Every one of us as believers, if you're born again, whether you're newly saved or been saved for 100 years, we're rich in Christ, but we don't all experience it. We all possess that high calling in Christ, but we don't always walk according to what we are and what we have. And what we have is an abundant life that Jesus promised, a rich life of joy and peace and victory, rest in our soul, contentment regardless of circumstances, satisfaction through Christ and not through circumstances. And yet, in spite of all the riches that are ours, sometimes we live like beggars. As if we possess none of these things. God said we did. He said we're rich, but we don't believe him. And we refuse by faith to enter in and experience it. And that's why Paul prayed, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we all might know what is the hope of our high calling in Christ, our position in Christ, and all that we have in him." We are rich, but ignorance of these riches and unbelief will hinder us from experiencing it. And that's a lesson we have. We can be robbed of that benefit through unbelief. The next thing we want to note about the daughters of Zelophehad was they desired to, and they pursued after this. You know, they could have sat in their tent and said, okay, we're the seed of Abraham too. We have a rightful place in that land. And they could have talked among themselves and never pursued it. But they did pursue it. And they brought the case to Moses, and Moses brought it to God, and God said they were right. And their behavior was not expected behavior from young, unmarried women. But their faith drove them. Their faith demanded their rightful place in that land. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know, the author of Hebrews tells us, let us labor to enter into rest. Sounds awkward, doesn't it? Work hard to stop working and rest. They're opposites. Work and rest are the opposite. It's one or the other. And here we're told to labor to enter into that rest. And the application he's making to believers, Hebrew believers of the first century, was you need to put energy and effort into experiencing our rest in Christ. And that energy needs to go in studying God's Word so that we're aware of how rich we are in Christ. And study so that we know how to walk with the Lord by faith and experience these blessings so that they can be ours. Not just by promise, but by possession. And we need to put energy and effort into learning how to live the Christian life. These daughters of Zelophehad were right, and God said so. And so they believed God, they took their case to Moses and thus to the Lord, and eventually they came into the possession of their inheritance. And they entered in, and we see later on in chapter 36 more details about this. But they entered in. They knew it was theirs. They heard the promise. They knew they were the seed of Abraham. And they knew that God promised this to them. And they weren't going to let anything in this life hinder them from experiencing the joy and rest and peace and blessing and benefit of life in the land. And that should be our attitude towards our riches in Christ. These ladies are heroes. And they teach us that there's no reason for any one of us not to experience all that we have in the Lord. Yes, we get discouraged. We get defeated. Sometimes we're depressed. Sometimes we're downcast. Paul said that was the same in his life. But he wasn't going to throw in the towel. Paul kept pressing on towards the mark. And there's no reason for us to ever quit in our walk with the Lord. That God wants us to persevere, to labor, to enter into that rest until it's our experience in our daily lives, and not to let anything hinder us. Ignorance is an enemy. Ignorance of God's promises. Unbelief of God's promises is an enemy. And the biggest enemy of all is me, myself, and I. When I focus on myself and my circumstances and my discouragement and all the bad things that happened in my life, and why couldn't things turn out well for me, instead of looking unto Jesus and running the race with patience. That's what these women did. Women of faith, determined not to let anything hinder them, rob them from their joy in the Lord. And that should be our resolve as well. No matter what anybody else does, whether it's my spouse or my kids or my extended family, whether it's people in the church or the church leadership or the whole world, my relationship to God is me and God and nobody else. And we should be resolved by God's grace to labor to enter into His rest and experience all that He wants in our lives. Pray. Father, we thank You for all that Christ has accomplished. We thank You, Lord, that He has provided salvation from sin and condemnation through His shed blood on the cross. And Lord, we pray that if there be any here today that have never trusted in Christ in a personal way, that they might put their faith in His finished work and be saved. And Father, we pray that if there be any believers here today that have never trusted in Christ to have victory over the enemies and obstacles in their Christian life that's hindering them from entering into the rest. Lord, help us to trust you and to walk in faith and not fear. And Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us to grow and mature in our relationship to Christ. And Father, we pray that our eyes would be wide open to the things that really matter in life, eternal things, heavenly riches, and our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to pursue them with all we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.